guys. Welcome to the FPL Family Show. Very nice to see you all. Something like, let's have a look. How many did we have in on that watch-along? Let's have a look. We had about 260 of you in for the watch-along, so thank you very much for joining us.
We could do a watch-along for Bournemouth and Leicester next weekend.
Bournemouth and Leicester, yeah.
Could watch Vardy trouble everybody.
Could be an interesting one. Of course, more on Leicester later on, and that race for the top four. I gave my predictions last week, and as some of you guys in the live chat were saying, do you still think Manchester United are going to be sort of fifth or sixth and miss out on the Champions League? I do not anymore, guys. I do not think
that
anymore.
Do you now think Leicester are going to finish seventh?
I don't think Leicester are going to finish seventh either, but they won this week, right? They're not going to finish seventh, but they are at serious risk of dropping out because Chelsea and Man United in particular look fantastic. Obviously, Wolves, difficult for them now having dropped points to Arsenal. Didn't see that one coming, guys, necessarily. And one of the key... Oh, just a classic Team Lee FPL moment from this season was the Saka goal against my double Wolves defence. I third benched Saka and I had Patricio and Doherty in my 11. What an absolute nightmare, guys. And I nearly played my bench boost this week.
I actually do feel a little bit responsible for the fact that you didn't play your bench boost this week. Because Friday night, if you remember, we were sat on the sofa and we were watching something on the TV and Lee was like, I'm thinking about bench boosting. And I was like...
I seriously was.
And I went, on what? And he showed me his thing. And I was like, right, you can't bench boost on Button, who's going to get nothing.
Everyone on Twitter was saying that. And on... Why bench... So people on Twitter and you were saying you can't bench boost because you haven't got a second keeper. I'm pretty sure Button is going to be there for the rest of the season because I've got a Patricio set and forget. So whenever I use my bench boost, it's going to have Button in it. Pretty sure.
All right, well, leave Button aside then. But I was also like, you can't bench boost on Saka, who's playing against your double Wolves defence. It makes no sense.
Evidently, you can, based on what we saw.
But you just shouldn't have played your double Wolves defence. You should have played Saka over them, shouldn't you? You should have... Because I thought, the last time I saw your team before that, you were playing Saka and benching...
He was always benched. I didn't fancy Arsenal to go to Wolves and get much. Never mind Saka score a goal.
Yeah, because you haven't got a cheap... Wolves, have you? You've got Doherty and Patricio, that's right.
That's true. Well, there we go, guys. That is one of the tales of the tape for me this weekend, as well as many others, including me getting my flipping captain right for the first time since the restart.
Yeah, me too!
Lovely to see Bruno coming in. And guys, we are going to have to spend a decent...
No thanks to the mirror, by the way, for scaring the wits out of us.
What was all that? That was absolutely sensational. Guys, if you're not on Twitter or you didn't follow this story... In the build-up to the Manchester City, Manchester United versus Bournemouth. Well, you shouldn't read the mirror anyway, frankly. But in the build-up to Man United and Bournemouth, all these rumours started coming out in the press, if you can call them that, about Bruno Fernandes and Pogba injuring each other in training. And the FPL community on Twitter is the best community on Twitter because we ratted them out straight away. The Twitter community was all over it. They were just like, are you sure it's not this parody article from this parody website where this guy basically wrote a complete parody story about the two getting together and training and injuring each other. And of course, the Mirror and some other actual newspaper people...
Well, they all started citing the Mirror, didn't
they? Got hold of it and just started talking about the fact they'd injured each other.
Well,
I think the others all just panicked
because the Mirror reported this, and I think so they all just started crediting the Mirror, and it's like, well, don't credit them.
It was bad, but we are going to talk about Manchester United on this live stream, there's no doubt about it, as well as Chelsea, who again got a very good result. In fact, let's get into these. We've done a few hellos. Let's see if anybody's joined us for the main live stream. We've got Anthony Richardson in. How are we doing? Dan is in. He says, up the Saints. Dan's
there
a very
you go.
Happy Saints
Southampton
fan. Josh is in and moderating. How are we doing, Josh? Nice to see you. Sonny Fosberg is in. Jamie Taylor is in. And Abhishek Bhatia is in as well. And Abdullah. So a whole host of you guys have joined us for the FPL Family Show, as well as the watch-along that we've just had for Southampton Man City. So thank you very much for joining us. Let's get into these fixtures then. Here's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. Just ticked over the 27k mark on Twitter, so thank you if you're following us over there.
Can I just, one little thing before you say anything else?
Go on.
I'm so close to hitting the 5k on Instagram
now.
There
we go, get over the Insta.
I need like 100 followers, I think. So if you don't follow us on Instagram, send yourselves over there at the end.
Instagram.com/FPLfamily, links in the description below, as is everything.
I would like to hit the 5k before the end of...
Yeah,
season.
Absolutely. Or just search for FPL Family on Instagram. You'll find you. There you go. Yeah. What's your actual handle? At FPL Family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same as Twitter. There we go. So if you're on Instagram, get over and follow Sam over there.
You know.
I know. I follow you on my personal account, right?
I know, because occasionally...
Because I'm a massive user of Instagram.
Very occasionally it comes up, Lee Bonfield commented. Did you?
Very unusual for that to happen. Let's get the window open that's got the scores for this week. So here are the scores on the doors. It doesn't say the Southampton City game, so I'm going to refresh. And then I'm going to scroll down a little bit more. There's my team, which we'll talk about a bit later on. That's next week. This is this week. So, a couple of the games we want to discuss some. Let's go straight to Old Trafford. Let's talk about Manchester United 5, Bournemouth 2. Now, when I was on the FPL show last Friday with Gianni and Jules and James,
yeah.
I did say that you've got to captain Manchester United assets. And the main reason I did think that, I don't think that was a revelatory, I don't think that was an epiphany for anybody. I think we're all thinking that anyway. But the key reason I was thinking that was because Bournemouth were shocking in the previous game week against Newcastle, a game that I watched for Scoutcast Matchday with Gianni and with Toby and with Andy from Let's Talk FPL
on Wednesday.
I see Gianni a lot. Yeah, it's great. I like that. It's great working with Gianni. So you've lost my train of thought. Scoutcast Matchday, the game that I was watching was Bournemouth-Newcastle. Bournemouth were absolutely shocking.
Oh, yeah, you got to see shocking. St Max doing bits.
St Maximum was St Maximum was great that game, no doubt about him. And actually, I really like this guy now. I've gone from, I like him.
Are
and
you
I don't
in my camp?
Yeah, I've gone from I like him and I don't know why to I just like him and I know why now. He's creative, yeah. He's direct, he's a bit like an Adama Traore but with less muscles.
And with less threat of rotation.
With probably a bit less of threat of rotation. And he's super cheap.
Yeah.
I can't think what his price is going to be next year, but it'll be higher than it is, right?
But I don't know if it will. Because well, actually, if you think about it, he's only really been good now because he was injured for a while and he couldn't play back-to-back games. And so I'm not sure he'll go up that much for next season.
Well, let's see. Let's see. More on him and Newcastle a bit later on because they were good against Bournemouth, but Bournemouth let them play. And as I said a million times, you know, Jonjo Shelvey was finding all sorts of space in between the lines. And Bruno Fernandes and Pogba found those same spaces at Old Trafford at the weekend. And they absolutely battered them. 5-2.
They couldn't keep a clean sheet, though.
Was the final score. Now, yeah, it's interesting that a lot of people are thinking about getting Maguire and Wan-Bissaka in.
Don't.
For them to then concede the two goals. How are you feeling? Because you bought Wan-Bissaka in this week. How are you feeling about that? Do you want to reverse that now? Or what,
no,
how do you feel?
No, I don't want to reverse it. I don't want to reverse it. I still stand by that decision. I'm just so fed up, to be honest. I'm so fed up with my transfers. Just going wrong every week. Like, I took out Justin for Wan-Bissaka.
He nearly scored at the weekend.
Nearly scored and kept a clean sheet. And bought in Wan-Bissaka, who got one. And it's like, I can't catch a break with my transfers. Luckily, the rest of my team seems to do okay, but the transfers go wrong.
Here's the decision then. So a lot of people are asking, well, do we treble up on Manchester United in attack? And even I said last week on the FPL show, no, I think that's too much overkill. And I would go for a Wan-Bissaka or a Maguire if I wanted to treble on United. I'm actually not sure. I might be changing my mind on that. And the main reason for changing my mind is how much value is in Mason Greenwood. I mean, Mason Greenwood is now starting, scoring, getting bonus points, double-digit hauls, and he's like 4.6.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. So from your perspective, you've got the three. I've only got the two. I've got Rashford and I've got Bruno.
It's the position I hate. I hate this position.
So you've got the three, and you're kind of locked in now to to Wan-Bissaka, Bruno and Rashford.
I mean, you've got to be happy with that.
So you've got to be pretty happy with that, I would suggest.
Yeah.
But how are you feeling now about Greenwood? How are you feeling about Martial? What do you want to do with those three Manchester United players?
I think I'm quite happy, to be honest. I'm happy to stick with them. If I free hit, though, that would be interesting because I'd need to decide on which three Man United I would have for that next game week.
Yeah.
And I'm not.
Who would be your top three right now?
If I had none and money, I was just
no
going in.
Money, no object, wild card. Three United players, pick them. Bruno?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Greenwood would be the next
Greenwood.
Pick. And then it would be a choice between...
Money, no object, Greenwood.
I'd still go Greenwood. He is the one up top to have. And then it would be a close call between Wan-Bissaka and Rashford for the third spot.
Do you know what I love about... And we saw it with Curtis Jones in the game today as well. I think we're seeing it with a lot of the younger players. Not only am I very interested, I think Late Riser posted this on Twitter earlier, very interested to see where these younger players, I think beginning of next FPL season, in the 2 weeks or whatever we've got between seasons, or what we're going to have, who do we think as FPL managers is going to break through this season? Because a lot of those younger players are going to be nicely priced, in top teams, see more minutes. Probably, you know, in Foden's and Greenwood's case, probably start. Probably not in Curtis Jones's case.
Yeah.
But these are all going to be nicely priced players. These are going to be the gems, I think.
Yeah. And
early
I think,
doors next season.
And I think if you remember back to the beginning of this season, Shea Adams was the one that we all looked towards as that third striker spot because we thought he was going to get game time at Southampton.
Yeah.
We thought Southampton would do better than they did. And he was nicely priced, but he was much more expensive than the likes of Greenwood and Nketiah are. Now, I'm looking at Greenwood and Nketiah and thinking, do you know what? Even if FPL put them up by a million, they're not going to put them up by much more than a million. So if they start the season at 5.5...
Nketiah as well, of course, yeah.
If those two start the season at 5.5, that is FPL gold right there, those two. Well, just pick one of them. And actually, I mean, Man United are... they are going to be challenging next season, in my opinion.
Well, I think they could be right. But your three would be Bruno, Greenwood and...
Rashford, AWB, one of them.
Rashford or AWB. No love for Martial.
It's not that I don't have love for Martial. I do. But I just feel like Rashford owes at the moment. I feel like Rashford's a bit annoyed.
Well, Rashford got six this week, not to be sniffed at. Got the penalty.
But if you're Rashford in that team and you've got Bruno doing Bruno things and you've got Martial has been great and you've got Greenwood popping up, if you're Rashford, you're surely thinking, I have got to perform.
Yeah.
And I want to be on him when that performance comes, because it will.
Do you know what's frightening is actually, I think Martial isn't the right striker in that position, my opinion. And why I think that is because I think Rashford and Greenwood, and to an extent Dan James, don't forget they've got Dan James, you know, waiting to take Greenwood's spot at some stage. So they've got a lot of talent, a lot of fast talent as well on those wings. Players that like to get in behind, in the same way that we've seen Mane and Salah do for a long, long time.
Yeah.
If Firmino was in that team, I'm trying to think of... I don't want to give any Liverpool bias. I'm trying to think of another player in there. Danny Ings. I'm not saying Danny Ings should go to Man United, but a player that works and works and works for the sake of the team.
Yeah.
Rashford and Greenwood would get an absolute ton of goals.
Yeah.
I'm not saying Martial's a bad striker, not at all. And I do like him in FPL as well, by the way. So this is not me hating on Martial. But Martial, puts in a shift when he wants to. If you had a player that put in a shift 100% of the time, if they could find a player like that, they would be absolutely unstoppable United, especially down those wings.
I think, for me, it isn't anymore, and I said this the last time I was on the FPL show, and I think I said it on the podcast this week as well. For me, it is no longer about, you know, which Man United player, it's which three. You have to have three. They are so good right now. They're in such good form. Mm-hmm. They've got the perfect combination of great form, great motivation in terms of the Champions League spots, which I think they're going to get easily, by the way.
Feels like it now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I have to kind of eat my words, I think, actually, a little bit from last week.
Well, and also not only that, but if you think back to Christmas, we wouldn't have let a single Man United player in our team. Now we're talking about three. They have come so far, and the lockdown for them... I think came at the right time. If there could be a right time for it, for a club,
Pogba
coming
back.
Pogba's back. They've got this real desire. Whatever Ollie's saying to them, they're a team again. They're suddenly a team again. The divide has disappeared. Mm. All of that negativity around the club has just gone.
Do you think a lot of these younger players as well, I might even do a separate video about the psychology of not playing in front of a stadium and an audience, and particularly when it comes to the younger players. I'm going off at a bit of a tangent here, guys. I will come back to FPL, but I'm really interested in this. You know, a lot of the managers are starting to give these younger players a chance. Of course they are, because a lot of the teams aren't playing for anything, so why wouldn't you? I get that. In Manchester United's case, they are playing for something and they're still trusting Greenwood, such is the form of the kid. But there must be something about going out there and just, you know, not having the pressure of the stadium, not the pressure of the fans. Just go out there and express yourself.
So who was that said, somebody was talking about this that I was listening to. Was it Adrian on the pod or was it Peter Crouch on the Saturday night thing he does? I can't remember, but somebody was talking about that and they were saying, actually, sometimes when you're having a bad game, the crowd make it a million times worse.
Yeah, right.
Because they get on your back, you can't, and your head goes and you can't get out of it.
Especially if you're a younger player, you know, generally speaking, that happens.
Well, and particularly as a young player at Arsenal and Man United, because those are the two we're really talking about, Nketiah and Saka, we should put him in there as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And then Greenwood at United.
Nice player, Saka. I like the look of him.
Now, those kids, and actually even today, when you look at your guy that came on,
Curtis Jones.
Like, you take those players, they're all players that, you know, going out to play at your home ground in front of a crowd of... Oh, I don't know
it's
how
pressure,
many...
Right? It's pressure,
it's huge pressure. Yeah. At a time in the season, particularly at Manchester United and Arsenal, where... you have to win games and your manager is trusting you with a start or trusting you to come on and change the game.
Yeah.
without the crowd there, suddenly you've got a bit of freedom to play. And I do think that's playing a part in it.
I do.
It will be good for them as well, longer term, because come next season, when hopefully the crowds start to come back, they'll have already established themselves and they know what it's like to score Premier League goals.
Okay. All right. Let's see what you guys are saying. Super chat from Greg Football TV. Thank you, Greg. He's saying, Sam and Lee, I got 63 points. Nice. Total 1,873. First season.
That's decent for a
pretty,
first season.
Pretty good, Greg, for a first season. Not
bad,
mate.
That is overall rank-wise.
1,873. Yeah, tell us your overall rank, Greg. I'd love to know where you are. But either way, that points total sounds pretty good to me for a first season. Good. So fair play to you. Hopefully, we're giving you some insight here on FPL Family. Thank you for joining us. Hope we like to think we've contributed in some way to that.
And if you're hopefully playing again next season, come back in the 2-week preseason or 3-week preseason or whatever it is we're going to get when we're talking about teams. Because if you can get off to a good start, I'll really set you off on it.
It will, absolutely right. Ben Holland is in. Ben, thank you for the comment. England's future looks very exciting.
Yes, doesn't it?
I feel like we're going off on a tangent, but I'm getting excited about all these younger players that are coming through. And from an FPL perspective, like I say, I think if you can start next season picking the one or two that are going to be in that first 11.
And it's Europe season.
If Greenwood starts game week one for United next season, it'll be a bandwagon. Yeah. If Nketiah starts, or if Phil Foden is going to have a breakthrough season, I think.
Oh, actually, he's another one, yeah. He's Phil another Foden. One. So, there's anyway, so many of them.
Greenwood, the best of the lot by a mile. Afrasiab is saying, thank you for the comment. I don't know about by a mile. He's very, very good, but there are some very, very other good players.
Also, I think that Nketiah and Saka, that they're not playing in a very good Arsenal team at the moment. When that Arsenal team gets going again, they will look just as good as Greenwood, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Saka's goal was, he took it so well. He didn't lash it. He just guided it in with power. It's fantastic. Yeah.
And really, he spoke with confidence after the game, didn't he as
did.
Well?
Absolutely. Anyway, so Manchester United, absolutely worth having, guys. If you haven't got some in your team already, you don't need us to tell you. Get him in. Here's a question for you, just to finish up on United. Yes or no? If you had Rashford, would you straight downgrade to Greenwood?
No.
And bank the money?
No.
You'd stick with Rashford?
Yeah.
Would you have them both?
Yeah.
I'm considering both right now.
I would have them both.
I'm considering Calvert-Lewin down to Greenwood and having them both.
Ooh, that's interesting. See, I definitely would do that, but would you swap Jimenez for him?
That's a question for a bit later on when we discuss Wolves. No. But let's come to that a bit later on. Bournemouth. Down and out on them. Down and out.
Let's save some time. Just don't go for Bournemouth.
Here's a question for you. And a tweet I saw earlier today. Should our FPL strategy now be captain whoever's playing Bournemouth every week? Is Heung-Min Son captain or Harry Kane captain a bad option next week?
I'm going to free hit, probably.
To Captain
Kane.
Love you so much. Amazing, brilliant. Captain Kane on your free hit against Bournemouth. Bournemouth will turn up and they'll be like Barca, won't they?
What happened with Sheffield United? They haven't turned up for weeks. They turned up against us at the weekend last week, didn't
brilliant.
They?
Let's address the Wolves question then. So would you...
Watch Bournemouth win 5-0.
So you asked me the question, would I downgrade Jimenez to Greenwood? No, I wouldn't. I think I'd keep Jimenez. I think Wolves have shown me enough since the break, despite that performance against Arsenal, which was... To be fair, a little bit out of character. I didn't see that coming, to be honest with you. I didn't see Arsenal going to Wolves and scoring two. This is a Wolves team that have kept, I think, 4 back-to-back clean sheets. This is a goalkeeper in Patricio who's made, like, 1 save in 4 games. This is an Arsenal team which, lacking a bit of confidence, and Aubameyang only just scored a couple of goals against Norwich from mistakes. Yeah. This is an Arsenal team which, lacking a bit of, well, anything, frankly, going forward. And all of a sudden, 2-0, so fair play to the Gunners. Are they back in the race, potentially, Arsenal?
No. We're not in the race either, but they're not in the race.
If Spurs aren't in it, Arsenal aren't in it.
No, it's not really anything to do with that. I just think we're too far behind. I think, you know, even if it drops to 5th this week, it's this week, isn't it? We're going to know if it drops to 5th. Even if it drops to 5th, I think we've got Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea, Man United. That's the top 4 in my opinion. Then we've got Wolves and we've got Leicester who aren't going to drop below 7th, let's be honest. And then it's going to be one of the rest of the pack that makes it into that 6th or 7th spot.
Chelsea and Man United absolutely licking their lips at that result today.
100%.
Licking their lips because they've got Wolves literally howling at their heels behind them.
Yeah.
And they're like, right, well, Arsenal done them a massive favour.
I think Arsenal are in the race for the Europa League. Absolutely. But they're not in the race for the Champions League. No.
Okay. All right. Wolves fixtures read like this. Sheffield United away. Everton at home, Burnley away. Now, those are 2 away fixtures that could actually be quite difficult for Wolves. Burnley and Sheffield United on their day can be very, very resolute. Crystal Palace at home, and then on the last day, Chelsea away, which could be a very interesting game. So three very difficult away games there, yeah, for Wolves. How are you feeling about Doherty? How are you feeling about Jimenez?
I'm all right about Doherty, but okay. Jimenez, I think, that's part of the reason why I asked you, would you swap Jimenez for Greenwood? Because there was a lot of chatter in the Slack yesterday with people looking at, after the Greenwood performance, there was a lot of chatter about, you know, what do we do about Jimenez? Because that's two blanks now in a row for Jimenez. All right, then before that he had, what, 9 and 8 points against Bournemouth and against West Ham. But
yeah.
Bournemouth and West Ham, you should get 9 and 8 points.
Probably should,
and
yeah.
West Ham.
Yeah.
Then they played Villa, blanked. They played Arsenal, he's blanked. They've got Sheffield United next, who played really well against Spurs.
And as Rishi is saying in the live chat, they should have O'Connell back as well for that game, yeah, potentially.
Yeah, so they played really well against Spurs. All right, they didn't keep the clean sheet today against Burnley, but Burnley are resilient as well. So, you know, they're a difficult side to break,
yeah,
down.
14 clean sheets this season. Yeah, 13 clean sheets.
Let's not talk about Burnley clean sheets, thank you.
I've never seen...
I hate Nick Pope so much!
I've never seen so much schadenfreude on FPL Twitter today than when Nick Pope's clean sheet went.
I love him.
I've never seen it. It was just so much glee from everybody when the Nick Pope clean sheet went. Honestly, I don't have Nick Pope, but I do have Charlie Taylor, so that's done.
I despair at myself for the Nick Pope decision, and I must admit, and I will now publicly apologise to Nick Pope and Burnley for massively celebrating when Sheffield United scored today. But my point...
You were like, Egan!
Come on, Egan! Because I know also probably it was on a lot of people's benches. So anyway, my point about Jimenez...
Stop being so horrible to people.
All right, I won't be so horrible to people.
You had Egan on your bench. Don't start all that.
No, I'm not saying that, but a lot of people will have had it. So it wouldn't have hurt my rent that much. No, I'm not. Talk about myself. So, I've lost my train of thought now. Right, so Jimenez, he's going to go to Sheffield United. That's not an easy game. They are in better form, and they were particularly good at home the other night when they played us.
Sure, yeah, sure.
And then they've got Everton, who are in quite good form. Well, we'll find out tomorrow night what happens to Everton. So... is Jimenez still, in your opinion, the right place to be?
I think he is, because if I look at the front three and I look at who I could fill those spots with, and we've said this a few times, I think maybe last week, I'm sort of struggling a bit with the forwards. Outside of Man United, who would you pick? And all right, you could fill two of those spots quite easily with Rashford and Greenwood, and then you're more or less done, aren't you? And you can put some funds in midfield, especially if you've got all that money that you've got back in your bank from getting Greenwood in there. And I've got a feeling that's, I think, where my strategy is going to head, I think. But if I look around the rest of the strikers, well, I guess you could look at Nketiah, but he's got mixed minutes. Aubameyang isn't worth the money right now. Harry Kane, not worth the money, in my opinion. Possibly. But for me, not really worth the money.
I agree with you about that.
So, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, maybe let's see what he does tomorrow.
What about Abraham at Chelsea with Giroud getting a bit of a...
That's an interesting one, actually, because Giroud was holding his hamstring or his calf, yeah, wasn't he? So maybe Tammy's going to get a few more minutes there. But again, do I feel like I want to double on Chelsea? Because I'm absolutely dead set on having Pulisic. Very happy to have him in my team. We'll talk more about him in a second, because he is so direct, gets fouled so much. There's going to be so many assists that come from fouls for Pulisic. Yeah. It's unreal. But yeah, Tammy could be
an option.
Could be an option if the Giroud injury is bad.
And I hate to bring him up, and we, you know, because I know there's going to be a lot of angry people that transferred him out this week. But part of me now wonders whether Jamie Vardy becomes an option again. Because do you think actually? And some the commentator said it in the match. Maybe it was that because he's hit that 100 goals now, and it seemed, yeah, almost like it was a big thing.
That's what Mohar's saying in the live chat. Jimenez to Vardy.
Yeah,
he's considering Vardy now because Vardy's quite streaky. Once he starts scoring, then maybe that 100-goal thing is the monkey off his back.
I think so. I think there was a lot of chatter, and some the interviewer asked Brendan Rodgers about it, and he said something about, you know, sometimes these milestones just get in a player's head, and now that it's done, you go back to playing with a bit more freedom and a bit more kind of...
Do you think he has the fixtures to do it? So Arsenal away, a team that he loves scoring against, by the way.
And their defence hasn't been great.
And a team that, you know, will push on, because yeah, Arsenal want, I think they think this can still move up the table. So they'll push on and want to win that game, especially at home. Not that there'll be any fan pressure to move forward, but I think Arteta will set up in such a way that Vardy could get in behind.
Yeah.
Then they've got Bournemouth, say no more.
Yeah.
Then it's Sheffield United at home. Then it's Spurs away, Man United at home.
I mean, the last
so it's few... mixed, to say the least. But Bournemouth fixture looks really nice in 35.
On paper, it's mixed, but you can definitely score against Spurs. Man United, well, we've seen Bournemouth score against them, but they had been quite consistent up until that point. Sheffield United, is it home or away, did you say?
It's Leicester versus Sheffield United at the King Power Stadium in 36.
Okay, so Sheffield United aren't as good on the road as they are at home, yep, defensively, so there's goals there for it. Bournemouth, there's definitely goals there. So, and Arsenal, there's goals there. I think there's goals for him.
Yeah, now, be.
I don't feel the love for him in the same way that I do other options. I don't trust him, is the reality. I would like... I think if he scores again in midweek against Arsenal... Is it Arsenal this week in midweek?
Yes, Leicester, Arsenal, yeah.
Yeah,
so at the Emirates.
So I think if he scores in on whenever it is, Wednesday night probably, then... Bringing him in against the Bournemouth at the weekend looks great.
All right, Liam Connolly, thank you for the chat, Liam. He's saying you buy Vardy once he scores.
Yeah,
so buy,
exactly.
buy. But then you've got Ellie Birch saying, no, the Vardy party's over, long gone,
Let, well, I guess we'll find out, won't we, what he's going to do next.
Azzy says, this is a nice comment, Azzy. I didn't know this. He's saying, I'll take your word for it, Azzy, Vardy's a Sheffield Wednesday fan. He will be up for that Sheffield United. He'll be up for that Sheffield United game. I didn't know that. Is that true, Azzy? I'd love to know if that's true. Ellie follows that last comment up with Vardy will score versus Sheffield United because he supports Sheffield Wednesday. Who knew? I just genuinely did not know
that. Well, there you go.
There we go. There's goals in the next three for Vardy, as he's saying. Yeah, there could be a hat-trick against Bournemouth. I mean, seriously, anything could happen against Bournemouth. So, Leicester and Vardy looking good. Arsenal for their part. I think the rhetoric around FPL for Arsenal is fairly straightforward. I don't think you want to spend as much money as you'd need to spend to get Aubameyang or Pepe.
No.
I don't think the defence is... Well, tell me what you think about the defence. That is the third clean sheet in a row now. And Martinez at 4.2 has come in and done what can only be described as a very, very good job, can't he? He's replacing, arguably, Arsenal fans will argue, it's probably their best player, second best player, Leno, this season. He's come in, done a fantastic job, three clean sheets. What's not to like at 4.2? Should we be investing now in the Arsenal defence? Their fixtures, by the way, look like this. They've got Leicester at home, as we mentioned before. Then it's Spurs, anything can happen in that game. Home to Liverpool, of course, that's going to be tough to keep Liverpool out, although Liverpool on the road, not exactly travelling well right now. Aston Villa away, and then Watford at home. So
those fixtures. Leicester, got something to fight for. Jamie Vardy's just started scoring again. Spurs, everybody's got something to fight for. That North London derby is pivotal in terms of who finishes above who in the league. So that will not be nil-nil.
Bragging rights.
It will not be nil-nil. Yes. Even with no fans in the crowd, that game will not be nil-nil. It will be feisty. It whizzes. Then who? Liverpool. Liverpool are still in the hunt for the 100 whatever, beating the 100 points thing. They score against Arsenal. Then who? Watford?
Villa and then Watford.
Villa and Watford. Two teams that have to score goals. I don't think there's masses of clean sheets there.
At 4.2, though, it's worth a punt, isn't it?
Yes, it is if you want a cheap keeper. Mm. If you want to rotate keepers, maybe, yes. If you want a set and forget keeper, no. I wouldn't. On those fixtures, I wouldn't go with Martinez.
All right, interesting.
So, I do think he's done a great job, though. Don't get me wrong.
I think the point I'll go back to, though, is that the value in Arsenal is in the value players. It's the Martinezes, it's the Sakas, and it's potentially the Nketias.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be spending too many of my FPL pounds on either Aubameyang or Lacazette, despite the goal today, or Pepe. I think if I was going to go anywhere, if you had to have one Arsenal player from that attack, I think you'd have Saka right now, wouldn't you?
Well, I've got Nketiah again. I mean, I don't know how I keep ending up back with
him. Keeps coming back in your team.
I don't know how he keeps coming back. He's like a boomerang. Get rid of him, and then a couple of weeks later, he's back in again. But I do think he offers some value. I do think he offers a nice option. Okay. I don't need him to play because I'm going with five in the middle all the time. I don't see any value in Aubameyang, Lacazette or Pepe. Just don't.
Jack Benzie, thank you for the comment, Jack. He's in the live chat. He's saying, Kane captain in 34, Sam. Switch to Vardy in 35, free it in 36, triple Bournemouth.
Love that. I love that.
Triple captaincies against Bournemouth. Sensational stuff. I do want to talk about Chelsea for a little while. Chelsea 3, Watford 0, which in the end was a very, very professional, very straightforward win for Chelsea. I think they put Watford to the sword, frankly.
Yes.
We've talked before about the different options that Chelsea have got going forward. We've touched on the whole Willian versus Pulisic debate. And I think, generally speaking, FPL managers were largely falling on the Pulisic side of the fence. But I think Willian's being criminally overlooked, right? Set pieces, that's the third penalty in three games for him now. And when you've got players like Pulisic, like Barkley as well, who was getting in and around those areas, like Giroud, who is a physical player, they will get fouled in the box.
Thing is,
they will get fouled in the box. They'll beat penalties.
So I, those of you that listened to the official pod this week will have heard me talk about Willian and Pulisic and how I was in a real quandary about which one. I knew I wanted one of them. This is before Mourinho said about Dele Alli. So I was swapping out Bergwijn for Pulisic or Willian, and I could not make a decision. And I was back and forth and back and forth. And I knew I was going to take the minus four, but I couldn't work out which one was the right one. On the night, Willian was the right one because of the, you know, all the penalty and everything else. And the free kicks were amazing. He was taking some brilliant free kicks.
Sure.
But Pulisic is so exciting, and he looks like he's got...
I think he's a real deal, you know.
I do too. And I think, Frank, you said to me last night, didn't you, while we were watching the game, you were like, this Chelsea team is full of just go. Go with pace. And it's like, yeah, that was Lampard, though,
how
wasn't
quickly
it?
They... their press needs some work, because I think they've got the energy for the press, but I don't think they've got quite the aggression for the press in the same way that some other teams do. But if they could add that to their game and win the ball back in those dangerous areas inside the opponent's half, they burst, is the only phrase I would use, they burst forward at such a pace. And Willian now, despite his age, has still got legs. Pulisic is so... His footwork, he's like a dancer.
Next season, they're going to have Timo Werner.
They've got Werner in there. They've got, you know, Ziyech coming in. Honestly, you've got Tammy maybe up front. They're going to have some squad, Chelsea.
It is terrifying.
All of the youngsters that Frank Lampard has spent this year bringing through.
And what a great job Frank's done.
Well, he's come in and they've said... you can't buy any players because he had a ban. Buy any players. So, Frank, you've got to come in on the back of Sarri. And by the way, Sarri left that club in a
disarray.
It was bad, wasn't it? So it's like, well, Frank's got to come in. Just steady the ship, Frank, will you?
Hold us up.
Just keep us up. Yeah, just don't embarrass us. And he's gone in there and he said, right, you, Mason Mount, Loftus-Cheek, who else has he brought through? Tammy. And he's just said, right. And even like if you go back to the beginning of the season, players like Kurt Zouma, you know, and Tomori, he's gone, right, I believe in you. We need you because we can't buy anybody. Come and show me what you got. Mason Mount's had a fantastic season. He's played the third most amount of minutes this season for Chelsea. So if you're looking to get into that Chelsea attack in a very non-rotation risk way, Mason Mount's the one. And he's the one that Frank likes the best. But from an FPL perspective, I still think Pulisic is the one.
I think now Pulisic and Willian aren't rotation risks anymore.
Willian must be.
They can't
Willian must be.
Be
because of his age.
I don't know if he is, though, is he? Okay. Because it's... Right. I mean, let's be honest, we don't know what's happening with Willian next season. They're basically flogging him, aren't they? It might not even give him a new contract. He might go somewhere else. So, if his legs fall off in the next 4 weeks, do they... You know, does
MZ Ludo is saying Ziyech is going to be FPL gold. He might well be. I personally think Timo Werner is going to be great for the Premier League as well because he's got all the attributes in terms of strength and mobility. What's interesting is at the beginning of this season, do you remember... There was no FPL asset at Chelsea over 7 million. Do you remember
that? Yeah, there was.
The most expensive one was, I think, Pulisic then joined the game at 7.5 a few game weeks in.
Was it Willian?
I've got a feeling it was Willian and Pedro were like 7 each, if I remember rightly. Maybe Tammy as well. I don't know. But there wasn't any asset over 7.
Yeah.
Going into next season,
oh gosh,
you can see Werner coming in at 9.
Well,
9
Pulisic
5.
Is going to be
You
more.
Can see Pulisic coming in at 8, 5, 9 easily. You can see Mason Mount being 8.
A big jump.
I can see it. 100%.
Really?
100%. Chelsea are going to have some interesting assets. And I think we're going to go into... We've talked a lot about next season this tonight, haven't we? Next FPL season, I think it's going to be a case of you have one Chelsea asset and you've got to pick the right one. And I can see a lot hopping about. But for me, for the rest of this season, Pulisic looks fantastic. The way that he drives into that box, he's so direct when he gets the ball. He doesn't faff. Never a sideways pass with him.
He always
carries the ball. And if you carry the ball, you will get fouled a lot.
Yeah, I must admit, watching the game last night...
Mariappa had nightmares last night.
He did.
Oh, he would have slept well last night.
But watching that game, it was exciting to own Pulisic in a way that... I thought Willian had a great game. But it's not as exciting to watch
Joe
Willian.
Pulisic reminds me of early Liverpool Salah.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just putting it out there. When Salah came to Liverpool and he was nicely priced and then he exploded and then he was expensive, I can foresee that with Pulisic. Because Pulisic is very direct, very selfish, likes a shot, likes to get into the box, takes...
It will be interesting to see what they price these players at. It will.
I do. Yeah, I do. Well, anyway, let's see. I'm obviously a big Pulisic fan, as you guys can see. And again, I think he's one of those players that benefits from there being no crowd.
Who Chelsea got next?
Chelsea's fixtures look like this. They've got away at Palace and Sheffield United next, which is two teams that can be stubborn, by the way. So it'll take a lot to break those guys down. Then it's home Norwich, which is a really nice fixture. Then they go to Anfield. And then they've got that cracking game at Stamford Bridge against Wolves on the final day. So the fixtures actually...
They win the next three.
...look tricky. You think they go to Palace and Sheffield United 6 points out of six?
Yes.
I think so.
Because that's the way they are. They are in that mindset at the moment where Frank just has to look at them and they put in an absolutely phenomenal performance.
All right, let's see. As he is saying, Barkley also either blanks or returns. He's a bit of a risky one from that perspective.
He's harder to own,
yes, but he's still a nice asset, I think. I'm not sure I'd massively like him as a player.
I think if you owned Barkley, you'd constantly feel disappointed that you didn't own Willian or Pulisic.
Yeah, it'd be a double up, wouldn't it? Yeah. You'd have to own him with one of the other ones. Yeah. And then it's a case of, well, do I double on Chelsea midfield? Yeah. I don't know if I want to go there, to be honest with you. Let's see what else you guys are saying. David Håkansson, Pulisic is the next Hazard. Perfect replacement. Yeah, there's me comparing him to Salah. Well, Chelsea fans will say, well, it's the next Hazard, isn't he, right?
How much should we love Hazard from an FPL?
Well, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. Watford. Sorry, Joe. Not a lot to discuss a lot to discuss.
The only thing to say is, don't own them. They make your team go to rack and ruin.
Get Ben Foster.
Get out of my team, Ben Foster, you absolute moron.
Where else do you want to go? Let's have a quick chat. We've talked Vardy a little bit at Leicester. Is there anything else to talk about at Leicester? I think it was Iheanacho with the goal, wasn't it? Harvey Barnes with a couple of assists. So finally, a bit of creativity behind Vardy. I don't want to go too much into it, but if you were thinking of Leicester...
No, I'm not. I think Vardy could be a good option, but I want to see what he does against Arsenal, because I think the games after that, if Vardy is, and he is, a streaky player, if he can score against Arsenal, then I think he's a great asset for next Sunday against Bournemouth.
Okay. All right, yeah. That's a good shout. Let's watch him against Arsenal. If he bags another brace, then it's in for Bournemouth. Yeah, yeah, okay, very good. So that's Leicester. Let's discuss... let's briefly go to the Anfield then. So Liverpool 2, Aston Villa 0. And I say briefly because how are we feeling about our Liverpool assets right now? Klopp obviously has shown a bit of a desire to want to change it up a little bit. Not in that front three. So our FPL assets feel like they're relatively safe. I mean, we've got the golden boot to consider with Salah and Mane. And I think their spaces are relatively safe. But you've seen how Liverpool... And here's how I would sum up Liverpool versus Man City this year. Liverpool, highly tuned machine. Highly, highly tuned. The first 11 is fantastic. It's unplayable. At times, we would steamroll the teams. And you've got Henderson, Wijnaldum, you've got Fabinho sitting there, the front three and the back four, with Alisson in goal. So hard to beat us, especially at home. We are finely tuned. As soon as you start to just pick a little bit of that machine apart, or you just put like a second-hand part in the machine, it doesn't quite work quite so well. Whereas City, I think, have got the squad.
Yeah.
You take somebody out of City, you can chuck another player in and they do just as good a job and they get the results. But their first 11, probably, as I've seen this season with the points gap, is not quite as finely tuned and as unstoppable as Liverpool's is.
I must admit, though.
But their squad is fantastic. But how are you feeling? So you've got Salah.
No, I'm really worried about owning Salah.
Right.
It was Klopp today. Right. The first time I've ever listened to Klopp and thought, oh gosh. Because actually I felt very much like it was the way he said it. The commentator asked, why have you made three changes? And he said, because we've got three games in 9 days and they cannot all play both. So some of them have to take a step back. Firmino was the one today. There's two more games in 9 days. I'll guarantee you it's Salah one and Mane the other.
Could be. Yeah, it could
well
be.
I guarantee it.
And the thing is, like I said before, when he changes that engine in the middle... And he put Ox in there today. Now, Ox had a bad game. I don't know what Ox did over the break, except
dance
on TikTok. Because he's come back and he's really not any good, to be honest with you. He's very sloppy in possession. And I think Divock Origi as well. He bleached his hair. If you're going
to
bleach your hair, mate,
you've got to
have
be
a
good
game.
You've got to be good.
It's like, that's like wearing neon boots and being crap. You have to. If you're going to do that to your hair, you've got to have a good game. And he didn't. He was not very good. Super chat from Greg Football TV. Thank you, Greg, for the super chat. His overall rank's about 300k. He's 299,400, he says. It's not bad. So for a first season,
it's a great
that is reasonable.
First season.
Very reasonable.
My first season, I was about 2 million.
He says, I did not join the July mini league. Greg, if you're one of our patrons and you didn't join the July mini league, then DM me. We'll get you in. Lee, listen to Sam. She picks smart differentials. Well, If I'd have known that, Greg, for the last 2 years, I wouldn't be where I am in FPL, sir.
I
wouldn't
tell you as well. I sit here every week and tell you.
I know. Another super chat from William Jones. Thank you, William. Hi, guys. Which goalkeeper under 5.1 would you consider? Well, we've just had a bit of chat about goalkeepers there. I think you're very anti-Foster. I actually think I would go Martinez. I think right now, if you wanted a cheap keeper, 4.2, Arsenal Martinez, 3 clean sheets back-to-back, there's something there about them. They've obviously improved. Who would you go for then, under 5.1? What do you think?
How much is Pope?
I think he's probably 5 or 5.1. I think he's okay. He's there or thereabouts.
If I had my time again, I'd go Pope. I still think Henderson offers value, and that's why
he's over 5.1 though, isn't he?
Well, I don't know because I aimed him at like 4.5 or whatever.
I don't keep that close a check of the goalkeeper prices, to be honest.
Just don't go anyone other than Foster, and you'll be all right.
We're saying Pope if you can afford it, but if not, Martinez looks all right.
My honest view in this is that I actually think what we've seen, and you said this earlier, and I think you're right, we've seen that this game week is the first time, really, where fatigue hasn't played a part. We've not seen the kind of the tiredness, and therefore we've seen better play and more goals being scored.
Yeah, absolutely.
And as such, I think it's less important to spend money on the keepers, because they're probably... It's keepers with save points, they're the ones you want. So the likes of Pope and the likes of Hendo that are going to tick over the save points every week.
B is saying she'd go for McCarthy after tonight, which, frankly, is difficult to argue with. They've got Everton away, Man United away next. Then it's Brighton at home, Bournemouth away, Sheffield United. So I don't know about Everton and Man United away, but after that doesn't look too bad. But after today, goodness me, McCarthy looks all right, didn't he? Go back to Liverpool. Let's finish up on that. So obviously Klopp has shown, as I think we said a couple of weeks ago, in the last 2 weeks, he's not chucking the kid straight in from the off.
No.
I liked his comment in the press conference before this game where he said, we don't give Premier League appearances away like Christmas presents. When I think the reporter was asking him about, you know, are you going to use the youngsters? He said, well, yeah, but we don't just give out Premier League appearances. So to me, that suggests, yes, the first team are going to get games. And we saw that today. Ox coming in, Origi coming in, Keita coming in, as I think we suggested a few times. But I can't think of who in that first team would get in ahead of Trent, for example, other than Nico. I think if Trent got injured right now, Nico Williams would come in.
Interesting that Nico Williams came in for Robbo today.
Yeah, so maybe Nico can play on the other side. I don't know.
Yeah,
but I think he's just trying to get Nico some minutes, right? So he can
get
a medal. But we did see Curtis Jones come on today. But again, Curtis Jones is a central midfielder. So he's coming on in one of those positions that doesn't necessarily threaten our FPL assets. So my view is Salah, Mane are still a keep for me. They're still a keep.
Do you think so?
Not sure though, are you?
I will go. I just know that there is going to come a night, whether it be on... When are you playing? Thursday? Whether it be on Thursday, or whether it be on the weekend, when we're going to get a team sheet and Mane is going to be missing and we're going to get one where Salah is going to be missing. I think it will only be one that they'll miss.
Right.
But I do think that they will miss one in this weekly period.
Okay.
And it will hurt. Like,
big shout out for somebody who's not getting rotated anytime soon, and that is our goalkeeper, Alisson. I can tell you, my backside twitched properly in the 91st minute when Grealish got through and he was in on goal and he's curled around the corner. I had Trent and I had Gomez as my... I've got double Liverpool defence.
Oh, forget about that.
Alisson's pulled out an absolute worldie. I've cheered that louder than I've cheered the Curtis Jones. Absolutely unreal. Grealish was through. I was like, no! Oh, God, he saved it. Everyone else is like, what? Everyone else is like, we've all got Trent, so if that had gone in, no one cares.
What the hell?
I was like, Alisson, you absolutely hated it. Because the Joe Gomez clean sheet was locked in, absolutely unreal. That is what FPL does to us, folks. I think that's it, Sam. I don't want to talk about any more than that. Southampton won Man City, you know, we've talked about that. We've discussed Man City as we were coming on, right? So that's it for the games. Actually, Newcastle 2, West Ham 2, St Maximin, Antonio. Some assets in that game that we should be considering, right?
Yeah, I mean...
Almiron's even getting goals now.
So St Maximin blank today, but not through...
Looks all right there.
Yeah, but not through a lack of...
City away next
decent.
To Newcastle,
yeah,
and then Watford away, Spurs at home. Difficult fixtures.
They are difficult fixtures, but I don't know, there's something about Newcastle. They've got something about them at the moment. They're in a good place. St Maximin looks... Honestly, I don't know why I love him so much, but he looks like the real deal at the moment. He's driving that Newcastle team.
Here's a shout for you. Jared Bowen from West Ham. As much as we're piling and looking at Antonio, and he's a nice differential. I think he's just about still under 1% owned, but he's about 6.9 in the game. So little bit expensive, but then if you think they're taking out Salah, then you can have whoever you want, frankly. And West Ham's fixtures, Burnley at home next, then Norwich away, Watford at home, then it's a trip to Old Trafford, but then Villa at home on the last day. There's four fantastic fixtures for either Antonio or the increasingly impressive Jarrod Bowen.
Really good today. I really baked him today.
I must admit, I'm looking at both of those guys.
Are you?
And the reason I'm looking at them is because I looked at my team.
Salah?
Not to replace Salah, no, but to go into my midfield. Because I looked at my team and I'm starting to think I'm a bit template. I'm starting to think I've got Fernandes, I've got De Bruyne, I've got Salah, I've got some very high, I've got Jimenez, I've got Rashford. Calvert-Lewin is like one of my differentials and I'm benching him. Saka's one of my differentials and I'm benching him. So I need to think differently if I'm going to...
So who's going to go?
Well, I don't know at this stage, I don't know. But I do. But Antonio is 1%, Jarrod Bowen is 0.1%. So with those fixtures and their form, because West Ham last couple of games, good result against Chelsea. That's not a bad result going up to Newcastle, who are in form, as you suggested, to go away to Newcastle and get a result. West Ham do look far safer than they did a week ago for a start.
But they are still down there and they could still get back dragged into it. So they do still need to get points. There's something to play for them.
They've got to be looking at those fixtures and going, we can beat those.
Yeah.
Now, Burnley's not difficult, not easy, right? 13 clean sheets, we said. They've got Nick Pope, everybody else. That's a tough game. But I've got to be differential just to have a little bit of something spicy about my team. And Antonio and Jarrod Bowen are two that I'm looking at. I am looking at West Ham for the running. Looking at those quite heavily. Anyway, those are the games, Sam. Those are the games. You look at your differentials from Newcastle. I look at mine from West Ham. I want to watch that match of the day tonight. I want to watch that match of the day, that game. And scout a couple of players, I think. In particular, Jarrod Bowen.
To be fair, you were another the young player. When that was on. I was watching it.
Another young player, I think, could be very good, actually, Jarrod Bowen, next season. So there we go, guys. Let's have a look at...
Oh, who
thinks
the bad thing?
Well, I'll tell you what, let's do teams in a second, but I do want to do a quick update on the Manager of the Month Super League. So you guys are patrons out there. Hello, patrons. We love you very much. One of the things we've set up for them is this Project Restart Super League. So from game week 30 to 38, we've got a mini league running for our Patreon supporters. And what are we? We're in our sort of three or four game weeks in. And it's great to see that we've got some real long-term patrons at the top of this league. So Aaron Chen, who's been a patron of ours for, I don't know, since the beginning, I'm going to say.
Since we set up Patreon, Aaron's been about.
Aaron has definitely been there.
Give or take.
There or thereabouts. But even before Patreon, he was always in the live chat.
Yeah.
So Aaron is currently top with a game week score of 62, 381 points so far since the restart, which is very nice.
Took the screenshot, didn't you, before the City game? So may
have I should say that. Yeah, I should say that. So, although no real FPL assets getting points in that game.
Well, unless they played McCarthy.
Unless Scott McCarthy, of course, yeah. So this screenshot was taken, you're right, before Man City Southampton. So might have changed, but Aaron's got a bit of a lead at the top there, Sam, by the way. So I should bring this over here a bit because I keep having to do that to talk into the microphone and then going over here. But Oratilo is in second place with 369. Scott Schrager, who again has been around
another
on our Patreon for absolutely ages. So Scott is in third, having a really, really good project restart with 361 points. Adam Skillito is in there, 359. Thomas Gravgaard, who's a new patron of ours.
But a long-term FPL family viewer.
Tom Gravgaard has been in the live chat loads, hasn't he?
Yeah,
but he's just joined us on Patreon for the Project Restart Super League. So he's in at five. Alex is in at six. And Frank Verlinden, who is a former Manager of the Month champion, is in at seven. So it's hotting up there. But I must say that Aaron's lead is looking pretty good. He's got a lead of 12 points there. Front ahead of second place and ahead of Scott in third. So it's looking pretty good for Aaron already. But of course, plenty of time to go in the Project Restart.
Yeah, Kane on a free hit, captain against Bournemouth.
Kane on a free hit. I might go
flying up.
Might see you there, Sam, this time next week. But of course, we're going to be now tracking. Now that we're a few weeks in, starting to take shape this Super League. So we're going to track this every Sunday. If you want to go and check out what it's all about, head over to patreon.com/FPL family. Now, I will warn you guys at this stage, I have closed the league. So... I know it seems weird to be promoting it, but having closed it, but I think it's what I wanted to do was make it fair to the patrons that started from week one,
yes.
Right, or from game week 30. So if you've had an absolute stormer in the last 4 weeks and then joined the Super League,
Kevin McCarthy,
I'd be like a bit upset if I was Aaron.
Yeah.
I'd be like, well, he's only joined because he's doing well. So we've closed the league, but if you guys do want to go and check out patreon.com/FPL family, there's still plenty of stuff you can get involved with over there. All of our bonus Ohana podcasts and access to the Slack and everything else, and be part of the FPL family community.
You can start at the Ohana tier as well because you won't have Manager of the Month and get involved with Ohana in the Slack and everything else, and then upgrade yourself for next season if you want.
Ohana tier comes in at $3, so you want to start there and then maybe have a look at the manager of the month for next season. Absolutely not a bad strategy. But the Super League is taking shape, and Aaron is sitting pretty at the top of the league.
Well done, Aaron.
There we go. Let's have a look at your team, Sam, for Game Week 33 plus. Here is the team. Annette 60, because you took a hit. I'd like to know what that hit was.
61.
Because KDB came on for the one. Of course, again, this screenshot taken before KDB came on. Total points still very good. Overall rank still exceptional at 3.3k. Talk us through your team.
Liverpool, fine. Bruno, brilliant. Rashford, I'm happy with. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, disappointing, but fine. I think I'm fine with him. I'm pleased to have him. I'm a bit disappointed that it came at the time when Justin Blimmenwell got a clean sheet, but what can you do?
Yeah, okay.
The rest of them, there's some scope for change in there. Like you were saying about feeling a bit template, I feel like I'm a little bit template because my rank doesn't really move depending upon, you know, even when St. Maximin did brilliant things last week, I still kind of just stuck about. And it's, I feel like if I'm going to really break the top 1K again, which is looking harder and harder to do, I do need a differential in there. And St. Maximin was that differential. I just need to think about it. And I am giving serious consideration to taking Jimenez out. He's got one more game.
Jimenez out? He was essential a couple of weeks ago.
If he doesn't perform next, in the middle of the week, he will go.
Okay.
As will Rashford. Rashford will become Greenwood and Jimenez will become Vardy for that Bournemouth game. If Jimenez doesn't perform.
Which is literally like, who's playing Bournemouth? Let's get him in.
Yeah, I'm probably going to free hit that team anyway this week.
In actual fact, the more I think about that, Leicester have got players that they pick up those pockets.
Yeah.
They've got Tielemans, he'll pick up pockets. Yeah. Harvey Barnes will get in there. I can see that being a difficult game for Bournemouth, as every game will be for Bournemouth between now and the end of the season. So, you, at the beginning of the live stream, alluded to the fact that you might consider playing your free hit in Game Week 34 plus. Mm. Talk us through what might change for the free hit.
So, I wasn't going to. There was at no point was there ever going to be a free hit other than in Game Week 38. I don't know, Friday night, when I was tinkering with my team, trying to decide whether I was going to go for Willian and Pulisic, I was looking at the fixtures for 34. And I was like, Chelsea at Crystal Palace, would fancy a couple of them.
Yes. Chelsea at Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I'd still...
No pushovers, Crystal Palace.
No, but not... they just haven't been great since the restart.
Okay, all right.
Man City at Newcastle. Yeah, would fancy a couple of them.
Okay.
Man City at home to Newcastle, would fancy a couple of them.
Yeah.
Spurs,
Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, fancy that. Yeah. Man United versus Villa, fancy that. There's just a few games out there that I thought, yeah, I could definitely go with triple Spurs.
Feels like a nice week to free hit.
Whereas when you look at Game Week 38, there was a few nice fixtures, but Arsenal and Watford, that's tough because you don't know which way that's going to go in terms of the end of the season and who's going to be up and down. Chelsea and Wolves, again, same thing. That's tough to pick from.
Yeah.
Spurs at Palace, we never travel well there. So that's a difficult one to pick on. Leicester and Man United, that's difficult. Man City and Norwich, that should be fine. Liverpool and Newcastle, that should be fine. But Liverpool might want to give some more medals out. So there's a bit of rotation risk there. West Ham and Villa. There's not as many nice fixtures to choose from in that game week. So part of me was thinking my actual squad is probably all right for Game Week 38.
What I like about the free hit in Game Week 34, just looking at these fixtures now, there's a couple of fixtures where, all right, I get what you're saying. You know, you'd pile into Spurs and Man City and Man United. Yes, you would. But there's a couple of teams in there where there's some cheeky little differentials that would propel you into that top 1K. So,
exactly.
For example, Watford at home to Norwich.
Yeah.
If you wanted to pick a Deeney,
because
he'll go in there and he'll boss that. He'll boss those Norwich centre-halves. If you wanted to go West Ham and talk about Bowen and Antonio, like I mentioned before, under 1% ownership. So I think if you constructed your free hit with your main protagonist, as you've suggested, but a couple of cheeky differentials from Watford and West Ham in particular, that's... I agree with you. I think 34 does look like a potentially good free hit game week.
It suddenly feels like the right week to free hit.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I was hoping, and I'd always said it would be 38 because we'd know who's got stuff to play for and things. But in the back of my head, I was never and I think I've said this a few times on the FPL show and various other places, it was never set in stone it had to be 38. It was always flexible.
Yeah.
And if there became a moment where there were some really good fixtures for a certain set of teams, and those teams were in good form or had stuff to play for, that would be the moment. And it feels very much like 34 plus is the moment. The only caveat on doing it is what happens with Spurs tomorrow night. Because if suddenly Harry Kane gets injured tomorrow night, or the world comes to rack and ruin,
yeah,
then that might prevent me doing it.
Okay.
But otherwise, I am probably doing it.
All right, Pricey is in the live chat. He's saying, look at 36 for the free hit. 36 doesn't look too bad as well, but I know why you want to go for 34.
Well, I want and that Captain is the, Kane.
That is the captaincy of Kane against Bournemouth. So I can absolutely see that. I think in terms of your game week, I think it's not too bad at all.
It's all right.
Your overall rank slipping a little bit, but listen, you're still in the top.
It slipped by about 200 places, I think. So.
It's very, very good
it's
indeed.
A bit annoying, but it's worse.
So there we go. 64 minus 4, 65 minus 4, of course, because Kevin De Bruyne is coming on. Here is my team for the week. 67 points this week. As I mentioned before, there was that real gut-wrenching moment when Saka scored against my double Wolves clean and wiped out my double Wolves clean sheet with him being third sub and me playing Patricio and Doherty. That stung like you wouldn't believe, guys. But nevertheless, it is what it is. Another area that stung was Burnley giving away that clean sheet towards the end of that game. And of course, all the Nick Pope. There was so much Nick Pope schadenfreude on Twitter. It was ridiculous. But I was sitting there as a Charlie Taylor owner and not enjoying that schadenfreude either. Trent and Gomez, my double Liverpool clean sheet. What I will say about the Liverpool performance today, despite that Grealish effort right towards the end of the game, and despite some of the maybe jitters we have around the attackers and the rotation there might be, I still feel like Gomez is a nice option if you want to double up.
It's funny, isn't it, with your team? Because your game week on in 32+, which we haven't streamed since, was pretty much the same team. Did you make one change?
Pulisic. Yeah, I got Pulisic in, yeah.
And it went awful. And yet, this week, those same players, the double Liverpool defenders, it's amazing in FPL how that
Gomez,
happens.
I think the reason I think Gomez is nice is because despite all the rotation that might be going on, if you look at the first 60 minutes of that game today, Villa didn't really get near our goal, really. And we did look pretty solid, despite the Grealish effort. I mean, Beckett Alisson did play quite well, but I don't think we were ever really under a lot of threat. And all right, put the Man City game to one side. Our defence has been very, very good for a long period of time. And with the fixtures that Liverpool have got remaining, I don't see sides spending a lot of time attacking us or even getting, you know, big, big chances against us. So I feel like the double Liverpool defence is a nice strategy, given that it doesn't feel like we're going out there and scoring loads of goals between now and the end of the season. But then again, equally, if you have Trent already, do you want to spend another 7 on Robbo? Do you want to spend another 6.5 on Virgil? Well, maybe not, but could you spend 5.3 on Gomez? Mm. Yeah, probably.
And it is the only way, really, to make Liverpool differentials, because you can't really own Salah and Mane at the moment.
Very little upside in Gomez. Yeah. Not going to get bonus points.
But the clean sheets are there.
But he'll rock over a 6 for 5.3. I'm quite happy to have him at the minute. It's no problem at all having him. Salah gets the 6. De Bruyne has obviously got 1, so I think the final score will be 68. Fernandez captain, very happy to nail that
Finally.
Captain.
Finally!
Very happy to nail that captain. And I want to get your comment, your views, guys, in the live chat. And if you're watching the replay, get in the comments below. Who do you think is going to be the best captain for game week 34? But not only that, is Bruno Fernandez now a perma-cap?
I think you could.
Between now and the end of the season. I think you could leave the armband there for the rest of the season and be pretty happy.
I do too.
Rather than, oh, we might miss this haul, even if you move it between your Manchester United assets, you might miss a haul like people have done the last couple of games. Just stick it on Bruno and forget about it.
He's so exciting. And I feel like even if he doesn't haul, he'll still get you something.
Yeah.
He'll still get you a goal or an assist.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You're still going to get points. Whereas, you know, there's other players that you could put it on, the likes of Jimenez, that may blank. But I would feel confident with Bruno that he's
How are we
going to
start an FPL
over.
Season next year with Pulisic, Bruno, Salah, and KDB?
Well, we're not, because you can't afford them all. Actually, when you think about it, last season, the reason I had KDB was because I couldn't afford to do it with Sterling, so I had KDB. What will be interesting is, do they reverse the prices on those two next season?
Absolutely. Well, there we go, guys. I was going to play my bench boost, in which case I would have had Calvert-Lewin still to play tomorrow night. Would have had the 10 points from Saka and would have had a nice boost. But nevertheless, didn't play it, kept it for a rainy day, so that'll get played at some stage. But listen, 68 points, pretty happy with that. Overall rank's gone up from 88 to 74k. It's fine. It's a solidish game week, and I'm pretty happy with it. So we move on. I think the captaincy makes all the difference.
Oh, yeah.
The red arrows I've had in the last couple of game
better,
weeks.
Don't you, as well?
Not hitting your captain. You hit your captain, you can good chance.
Particularly
to bring
last week when I had Jimenez captain and he blanked in the first game, and it's just like, right, yeah, my game week's going to rack and ruin, and nightmare, it's only been one game. It goes on for 5 days.
Nightmare. Absolutely. Well, there we go, Sam. That is it for another FPL family. Thank you guys for everybody that joined us for the watch along earlier. Enjoyed doing that. That was good fun.
Yeah, get another one next week.
Another one next week, yeah. Well done in game week 33. Was it a difficult game week? I would say most people got the captaincy right. As long as you had a Manchester United captain, I don't think you're doing too bad. If you had Salah captain, bad news, but he's still got the six.
That's
so it's not
that
terrible. Not terrible. So I think there's been some reasonable scores around in 33. So well done for anybody that got Green Arrow. Hope you enjoyed the live stream this evening. There's our Twitter, as usual, at FPL Family over there, at FPL Family over on Instagram. Look out for us on the FPL show. Sam's going to be on Tuesday. I feel like the FPL shows are coming thick and fast right now. It's great. I think
I'm doing 3 in a week.
Yeah, Tuesday, Friday, Tuesday you're doing, aren't you? You're going to see loads of Sam on the FPL show. And if you're in the UK, of course, you can now watch that live on the Premier League's YouTube channel. Just have to be in the UK, of course. But, of course, in the UK, we usually have to wait for it to be recorded and then go on the app the next day. Yep. But if you're in the UK, you can, of course, watch it live now on YouTube.
Half past ten.
Every Tuesday and Friday morning at the moment. You're going to be on Tuesday. We're both on Friday, which will be great fun. And then you're back on again on Tuesday.
Socially distanced.
We have to be socially distanced. Do we really?
Yeah, we have.
Why?
Because of the way the studio is laid out, we can't sit next to each other. So we've still got to sit apart. Right. So it might look like we've had an argument. We haven't. We just have to sit there for social distancing purposes.
Rules is rules. I'm not going to argue with the folks down in Uxbridge. They are very nice people. And we're not going to argue. They want to socially distance me from you and your FPL points. I'll be very, very happy about that. Guys, thank you for joining us this evening.
Death
Leave death. Us a like before you hit death stare. Leave us a long distance death stare.
I'll be able to actually look you in the eye and death stare you.
A 1 meter plus death stare.
I literally love that. I'll be able to just glare at you across the studio now.
Be right off. I'll be talking to James. I'll be like...
Every time the camera's on you, you'll just see me glaring at you.
Guys, leave us a like before you go. If you've not hit subscribe yet, please do hit subscribe. We are closing in, guys, on 10K. We're very, very close to 10K. We're at about 9.8, I think.
Ooh.
And I would love, 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 love to get there before the end of the season. If you're already subscribed, thank you very much. If you're not, go hit that big red button and hit the little notify as well so you know when we're next on. Guys, good luck in game week 33 or the remainder of it if you've got Spurs or Everton. And we will see you this time next week, 8:30 Sunday night for another FPL family. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.